time for Picks Up Inside Cameron Athletics, your all-access pass to Aggie sports right here on KCCU. I'm your host, Cameron University Director of Athletics Lou Izzy, and today we're taking you behind the scenes as our Aggie teams compete for championships in the highly competitive Lone Star Conference. You'll hear from our coaches, meet our student athletes, and get the inside scoop on everything happening in Aggie athletics. It's Picks Up, and it starts now. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a great day to be a Cameron Aggie. Wrapping up our fall sports, and it's now time for Cameron basketball season. Before we begin, I want to remind you that you can always get your schedule, scores, rosters, player profiles, game stories, and ticket information at CameronAggies.com, and you can watch all of the Cameron action on FlowCollege.com. Okay, today we're joined by our new head men's basketball coach, Nate Kennedy, and the head coach of our men's and women's golf teams, Tyler Kamen. Welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Nate, let's start with you, Coach Kennedy, first-year coach at Cameron University. Men's basketball season is about ready to get underway. Why don't you begin by telling us a little bit about yourself and your career path on your way to Cameron University?
Yeah, I've always dreamed of being a college basketball head coach. My grandfather picked me up from school when I was in second grade, took me to a North Carolina basketball game, and it was over after that. You know, I dreamed of being a coach like Dean Smith and grew up in West Virginia. Bobby Huggins were guys that I idolized, so knew I wasn't going to make it to the pros. Did get the opportunity to play college basketball and really got to play college basketball because I wanted to learn how college basketball worked. You know, how to be a good coach, how to run a program. And as soon as I got done playing, I got right into college coaching. I was blessed to work for some really good coaches. I worked for Mark Downey for 11 of my 15 years. Worked for him at four different schools, University of Charleston, West Alabama, Northeastern State here in Oklahoma, and for the previous 5 years at Arkansas Tech University. So when the job came open in April, jumped right on it. You know, my family, my wife is from Tahlequah, Oklahoma. That's where I met her. So we are blessed to be here at Cameron and looking forward to raising our family and building a successful basketball program right here in Lawton at Cameron University.
So you mentioned your mentors, specifically Coach Downey at Arc Tech. Elaborate on that and how they've impacted, you know, your perspective and how you go about coaching, your commitment to your student athletes, and also your style of play.
Each coach needs to find their own personalized coaching style. Coach Downey, I would, say a lot of his on-the-floor coaching would kind of replicate or simulate, you know, Bob Huggins. But I don't know if that's my natural, you know, personality, coaching style. So, you know, each stop, I, you know, find things that I like and things that I don't like. And one thing that I've always admired about Coach Downey is his ability to run a program. So being with him for 11 years, you know, he gave me a lot of responsibility and some opportunity to help run his basketball program. So just when it comes to putting together a team, when it comes to recruiting, we've always kind of, shared the same perspective with junior college athletics here at the Division II level. So we find some really talented junior college players to build our program with. And just the way we format practices, you know, breaking down drills, making practices tougher than the game, something that I've kind of also taken from Coach Downey. Just being able to be around him has been very impactful. Also worked for Danny Young at the University of Montevallo, who always felt like was a player's coach. You know, I want to give these players freedom. I want to give them more ownership of the program. And with that, I allow them to make a lot of decisions on the court and, you know, how we're going to play and kind of, you know, what our playing style is going to be. You know, we have some expectations. We have standards that we want to live up to every single day. But when we get out there on the court, I try not to control every single possession because I feel like that's really hard to do in the game of basketball. I want to give these guys a lot of freedom.
So we launched the basketball seasons last week with Aggie Madness. We had almost 1,500 people in the gym, sold out. Great night. What was your impression of that?
I've been doing those things for several years, and by far that's the best one I've been a part of. So thank you to the AD and the administration, you know, everybody that's invested time and hours, and the Garage Maholics who put on a great show for the fans. And it just shows the capabilities, you know, the people that want to know more about Cameron Aggies and our basketball program. So we hope that will translate to some home games. If we have a crowd like that in for a home game this November 14th, this Friday night, wow, I can only imagine, you know, the crowd erupting after a scored basket and, you know, the crowd getting excited after a turnover and a dunk. Like, I would just really hope that we could get those fans, their continued interest to be here for Cameron Agri basketball games.
So, Coach, you've had 20 years in Division II as a player and as an assistant and associate head coach, and now you become a head coach. What excites you the most about this opportunity at Cameron?
Well, it's just been a challenge, you know. As an assistant coach, you always have ideas and, you know, dreams and things that you would like to do with your program. Well, now we're setting those things in motion, right? We get a chance to really build from the ground up. We've got three returners from last year's team that are that have some Lone Star experience. But even those guys are new players in our program. They're learning a new system. They're learning how to be accountable. I feel like that if I've only taught them how to play the game of basketball, I haven't done my job as a leader of young men and as a coach. So every day I'm challenging these guys, trying to develop leaders within our program, because I believe that the best teams are player-led teams. So we need guys in that locker room that are really taking ownership of the program. So trying to put them in situations, not telling them what to do every single day, but putting them in positions to be successful and take ownership and to coach coach-led teams, you know.
Let's go back to last April. We hired you, very impressed with everything that you presented to us. And you didn't have any assistant coaches, and you had three players returning. You needed to build a roster, and you were by yourself. Tell us about that time and how you went about building a roster and the strategy behind building your roster.
Thankful for the coaches for allowing me to visit some guys and bring some guys into our campus. I think that is definitely one of our strengths. And it was amazing to see their reactions, because a lot of guys visited campus in April and May, and then they showed up on campus in August for school to start, and they thought, wow, Aggie Gym is completely different. The floor, you know, the lighting. We're very excited about the opportunity to continue to build on what we have. Coaches, like a lot of different business organizations, it's all about networking. As soon as I got the job, I started calling other coaches, hey, what do you got? What kind of players do you have? And we were very selective in our process. You know, I wanted to find guys that played hard. I think that is something that is really hard to teach. They either have it or they don't. So we've got to find guys that play at a high level. They have a high motor. We also needed to find guys that had good skill. You know, I don't really love putting guys in a box and saying, okay, you're only going to do this for us. You know, the game of basketball has become a very much positionless game. So we wanted guys from 6 foot to 6 foot eight that could shoot the basketball, that could make a pass, that could read the defense and get the ball where it needed to be, you know. So I believe that our playing style, we have a lot of moving parts. So that was important in our recruiting process. You know, a lot of watching film, a lot of developing relationships, and I think we've done a pretty good job of building a foundation for something to continue to grow. I'm looking forward to seeing how these guys develop over the season, because you know what you put on the court in November isn't always going to be the same as you continue to build through this really tough Lone Star Conference in January and February, night in and night out. It's tough travel. It's really well coached programs and teams. So I'm excited to see how these guys continue to develop.
Let's talk a little bit more about your style of play. I had the opportunity to watch you guys scrimmage Southwest Oklahoma State last week, and I was very excited about the tempo and the pace that we play at, and talk a little bit about how you want to get up and down the floor and how you want to play 94 feet.
Yeah, so, you know, long story short, I played my first three seasons at West Liberty State College in West Liberty, West Virginia for Jim Crutchfield. He's at Nova Southeastern now. They've been to three straight national championships. They've won two out of three. He's the all-time leader in win percentage, D1, D2, D3. And this playing style I absolutely fell in love with. It's the most fun for me to get up and down and play the game at a fast pace. And what you'll find is a lot of teams don't really like to try to score 3-on-2, 2-on-1. So we're going to put our team at a full court pressure situation to where we can try to create some chaos and some opportunities to get steals and maybe, you know, some turnovers to get more possessions for our offense. You know, the game is trending up towards more of a scoring. They want to increase the scoring in the game of basketball. So what better way to do that than to try to press and trap, and when you have the ball, advance the ball to open guys. You know, offense starts right when we get the ball. It doesn't start when we cross half court. And I think what you'll find is a lot of teams would be more comfortable with a coach calling a play and saying, okay, we want to play 5-on-5 compared to playing 4-on-3 or 2-on-1 or anything like that. So I've really tried to help train our guys to be good when we have the advantage and to be even stronger when we have a disadvantage. We've got to learn to protect the basket, and we've got to make smart decisions when we're at a disadvantage as well. So I hope that translates, and it will get better as the season goes on. But that was encouraging on Friday to see some good possessions.
And which players have caught your eye so far in the preseason?
Man, you know, we've got a talented group. We've got some guys that work really hard. You know, our guards are pretty strong. You know, we've got Jordan Mitchell's an older guy. He's played the Division I level. He's got good size for a guard. Arzante Dallas is a local product, a guy that can really shoot, score. Mike Jones is another guy that is inside and outside. He's probably one of our best defenders. And we've got several guys that I feel like that are on the cusp, you know, could you know, maybe put themselves in a position to be an all-conference player. But we just got to keep developing these guys and investing in these guys every single day. You know, we've got 10 games in the first 4 weeks here. So we'll find out what we're really about and who's going to step up and who's going to continue to make plays here early in the season.
So let's talk about the start of the season. We open at home on Friday, November 14th at 7:30 p.m. against University of Colorado Pueblo. And then the following night against Colorado Springs at 7:30, both in the RMAC Challenge. And then a week later, we go to Colorado. We play at Western Colorado and Adams State. Talk about your approach to the first four games and what it looks like playing these Colorado teams.
Well, we don't have much to go off of. Colorado State Pueblo has a new coach. They'll have a new lot of new players. So they're kind of like us. You know, they're kind of going in the game, relying on their tendencies. We'll learn about their personnel and figure out what their players are good at. But as far as taking away plays and things like that, it's going to be really hard to do because we haven't seen any film on them. So what I'm trying to do is develop our guys to rely on our principles the first couple games. We'll be able to have a little bit of scout against Colorado Springs because their coach has been there for a while, and they play on Friday night, so we'll be able to watch their game film and educate our guys on what kind of plays they're going to run and who their top guys are. So when we travel to the Rockies, you know, that's going to be a heck of a trip. You know, I don't know how many of our guys have been to some of the highest peaks, you know, up there in Colorado. So that'll be fun for me. It'll be fun for our guys, different experience. The RMAC's got a deep basketball league as well. I don't, you know, the Lone Star to me is probably one of the best, if not the best, but I know the RMAC has some really good basketball in it as well. So, you know, we get a chance to go up there and play Western Colorado and Adams State, two guys that have established their programs, and it'll be a chance to really bond. You know, those long hours on the bus give those guys a chance to, you know, play card games or talk, and those nights in hotel rooms get a chance to get to know some guys. So not only are we getting to go play some good basketball, we're getting a chance to really bond off the court together. This is a long season. You know, these guys are together from, you know, October until March, and, you know, and we hope that our guys have some really good chemistry, because the teams that make the NCAA tournament, the guys that go deep in the conference tournament, they have a special connection. So we've got to look for ways to build that and to get our guys really playing well together.
So you talked about the Lone Star Conference. Obviously, being you know, an associate coach at Arkansas Tech, you've played against Lone Star Conference teams. Give me your impression about the Lone Star and how you're going to prepare your team to play in this conference this year.
Just some really good nationally ranked programs every year. I mean, Dallas Baptist is coming off a Final Four run. West Texas is in the conversation every year. Eastern New Mexico is another program that's kind of on the rise. You know, they've done some really good things. Lubbock Christian, top 25 school. I mean, you can go on and on about the top of the league. But then as you get into even the teams that, you know, are maybe aren't at the top every year, there's some really long travel that go with that. You know, Silver City, New Mexico, Laredo, Texas, Kingsville, Texas. So the challenges of travel at our level are what, you know, make the Lone Star, you know, so deep. so tough. You know, UT Dallas is a new team. Sewell Ross State's a new team. So don't know much about those programs. So, you know, I've got to do my homework. I've got to prepare our teams night in and night out. And we'll do that with hard work. You know, like I said, I think we got to try to make practices tougher than the games. As you get into, you know, January and February, you've got to be smart. You want your guys to be fresh for those tough weekends. So you got to figure out, you know, where the balance is, pushing your guys to get better, but also making sure that they're fresh and ready to go for a tough weekend game. You know, trips to San Antonio with St. Mary's and St. Ed's, you know, two other teams that were picked high in our league. We get those guys at home this year. Angelo State started off the season. They get to play in these opening weekend tournaments. They went 3-0. They've got a whole new team. So, I mean, what's that tell you about the league? There's some really good resources. There's some really good coaches in this conference. And I'm just excited about the opportunity to measure up and see how we compete. You know, how do I compete as a coach? Am I preparing these guys the right way? There's a lot of things that I'll learn about myself this first year and how to get better as a head coach here in the Lone Star.
It's an awesome opportunity for us to get back to Frisco for the conference playoffs, where we had success 2 years ago. But last year, we started the conference slate 0-6, put us behind the eight ball, and we came on, you know, really strong at the end of the season, but we just had too much to overcome. So talk about how you're preparing to start the season in the Lone Star, your team's approach, your approach. I believe we open with Lubbock Christian here, right, in December.
Well, we'll go on the road and play at Portales, Eastern New Mexico and West Texas to
correct.
Start.
So you start that with the, and that's a tough road trip, New Mexico and West Texas. Then we come back and play at home before Christmas against Lubbock, and then we have our break. So you have three tough games, and then, you know, right away back on the road when we get back from Christmas. Talk about your approach to the first, you know, five or six games of the season.
Well, I know that you encourage me to prepare for these games, right? So we have one of the toughest non-conference schedules in the country, I believe. There's no nights off, whether it's a non-conference game or a conference game. So early in the season, we're going to be challenging our guys. You know, we play Southern Nazarene in Oklahoma City, who was picked first in the GAC. You know, Southeastern Oklahoma State's another program that's been the NCAA tournament several times. So I know that they'll have a good squad ready to go. You know, and then we travel to New Mexico Highlands, who's gotten a chance to play against a D1 opponent, and then played in the opening games this weekend as well. So they'll be experienced. They'll be ready to go. So we've tried to put ourselves in position to get ready for the Lone Star by challenging ourselves in the non-conference. You know, there's no cakewalks in the Lone Star. So playing and preparing every game like it's a Lone Star game is important to us. So we'll watch film. You know, we'll continue to drill our guys and get a lot of shots up, you know, work on our offense and defensive tendencies every single day in practice and try to figure out, you know, the rotation and what's going to put us in a position to compete and be successful. So night in and night out, I'm challenging these guys, but it's important that we continue to develop great habits in practice.
And right in the middle of that, you have a bit of a scheduling quirk. On December 7th, we're heading to Texas to play D1 Tarleton State in an exhibition game. Talk about your reasoning behind that.
Yeah, I've got a unique story with Coach Gillespie. You know, my head coach at Arc Tech and Coach Downey, you know, several years ago, his wife or ex-wife actually advocated for Coach Gillespie. He was going through some health concerns there several years ago, going through some kidney failure. And she thought, you know, what kind of person would I be to advocate all over social media about this health concern with Coach Gillespie if I didn't go and get tested myself? And then past stage one, past stage two, stage three, she's a perfect match. So, she, you know, Coach Downey, who I'm very close with, and obviously with his family, you know, his sons are like little brothers to me, you know, and Eric is a great person. I've known her for several years, and she was kind enough and made this decision to sacrifice herself. She gave her kidney to Coach Gillespie. So I had the chance to interact with Coach Gillespie. We recruited Ranger College when he was there very hard. We've had a couple good players from his program that have helped us. So got a little bit of relationship with Coach Gillespie. You know, that'll be a tough weekend. We play Thursday and Saturday, Saturday at West Texas, and then we'll hop right on over to Tarleton, who's an old rival in the Lone Star Conference, who has made that transition from D2 to D1. Whenever I was at Northeastern State, we actually went down and played at Tarleton State, and they have a brand new arena, which will be really nice and fun for our guys. And they're going to come with it. You know, they're a talented group. I actually played against or coached against Cam McDowell, who was at Northwestern Oklahoma State for the last 2 years, was a really talented player. He's there now at Tarleton, and they've got some really talented guys. I know Coach G, he'll coach his guys up. They'll be really physical and really tough defensively, and they're going to play really hard. So that'll be good experience for our guys to play in that environment, and it'll be another test to get us ready for Lone Star competition.
Great. Well, Coach, it's been a pleasure, and I want to wish you the very best. I know you're going to do great things with our Cameron men's basketball program.
Thank you so much for having me, and go Aggies.
Go Aggies. All right, it's time to bring in head coach Tyler Kamen, head coach of our men's and women's golf programs. Coach, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Lou.
Well, Coach, you know, coming off, you have the interesting dynamic in golf. You play a fall season, and then you come back and play a spring season where we have the Lone Star Conference Championship. But these matches that we play in the fall actually are relevant, and they count towards whether or not we're going to get into the NCAA tournament come the spring. So let's start with the women's program. Give me your perspective or thoughts on their fall season.
Yeah, I'm very proud in how the women started their fall season. They started off with a win at our home event. We had a lot of support from the athletic department out there, which was awesome. We had cheering from the balcony out there at Lawton Country Club. And I just think it was a really cool thing to see our entire athletics department support golf because, you know, golf's a very difficult sport to kind of make an appearance to, and it's not one of those sports that you can cheer and yell and whatever, but just having that support, not only from the athletics department, but from the community as well, was incredible. I thought our fall season was great. Started really strong, kind of fell a little bit short at the finish, but we ended up kind of exactly where we needed to be, and we're setting ourselves up for success come the spring season.
So you won the Oklahoma Women's Collegiate, finished first out of seven teams, second year in a row we've won that, came from five strokes back after first day, and then we went to the West Texas Invitational and finished fourth out of 15 schools, which was a great result. Maria Savaka had two great tournaments in a row, winning the first tournament and then tying, you know, for the lead in the second tournament. Talk about her performance in the fall.
Yeah, she's been one of those key players for us. I mean, she has that never quit and kind of a grind mentality. It doesn't matter if it's going good or it's going bad. She stays level-headed the entire time. She's probably one of the girls I trust the most out on the golf course to really kind of get the job done. She shares a similar mentality that I had whenever I was a player, and I can tell that, you know, her part is going to be a really key in our success on the golf course this year for sure.
And I believe you had two holes in one in the women. So tell us about the holes in one.
Yes. So we had two tournaments back to back where we had a hole in one. So the first tournament was at West Texas. Valentina Lea Serrano made a hole in one, and I was actually there for that. Mm-hmm. It was kind of crazy. Pin was kind of hidden, so we didn't really know if it went in or not. Then my graduate assistant, Elsie, she said, I heard it hit the pin. And I was like, no way. So we go up there, and it turns out it was in the hole. And then the next tournament, we were in Wichita Falls, and Maria made a hole in one on hole four out there, which is kind of a tricky par four, especially where they had the pin. Then we had our last tournament of the year, and we were thinking, oh, are we going to go three in a row on this? But unfortunately, we did not. To point out kind of the tournament in West Texas, is so that was where regionals was held this past year. And so we didn't have the strongest showing when we were there and didn't really know what to expect coming in for this tournament. But just tried to keep a positive mindset and just tell the girls, the past is the past. We're the same team. We're a better team. And we're going to play extremely well because we know this golf course. And they did that, finishing third in a tournament where we finished towards the end of the pack the year prior. So I was very proud of them when it came to that.
It's still quite a great accomplishment last year, making it to the NCAA tournament for the first time, I believe, in our program's
mm-hmm.
history.
Yes, sir.
It would be great for us to get back there, and it's nice for us. Anytime we can beat any of the Lone Star Conference schools, it puts us in a good position to make a run to the NCAA tournament. So let's shift gears and go over to the men's side. And we started the season strong, just like the women, and at the San Juan Invitational in Monte Rosa, Colorado, where we finished third out of 12. And then we hosted the Hernshire Tournament at the Territory Country Club and, again, finished third out of 12. Talk about the men's season and how you feel about it.
Yeah, for sure. I feel like the beginning of the men's season, we were very prepared for Colorado. Did a bunch of elevation training when it came to conditioning, as well as using our TrackMan system to figure out elevations, to really understand what our distances were, the altitude change. And I think that's what made us really successful early on was the preparation. We were really focused and locked into doing process-based practices to really achieve that end goal. And I was really proud of them in Colorado, especially since we decided to drive up there. It was a great road trip. I would not recommend going through the mountains in a school van, but I mean, it was fun. The guys made a lot of memories, and yeah, I was really proud of them for that event, as well as for our home event. Another great showing, very strong finish. Weather got very tricky on that second day, as it can out at the Territory, and the guys held on strong and finished well. Kind of had a similar start and end to the season as the women's program. You know, started off really strong and then kind of didn't have the strongest finish, but we're in the exact same spot as we've been in years past. It's just the spring I know is going to be a lot different, and we're going to make regionals this year.
So talk about your spring schedule on both sides, and the Lone Star Conference is a great challenge. How do we shape up this year?
The way we structured our spring schedule was just completely based off of we're going to get those in-region and in-conference matchups. Kind of behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to those matchups from the fall semester, but we have a great opportunity to make up for it. It's something I'm very excited for because I'm one of those coaches as well as one of those players that loves kind of being the underdog or just kind of the person that's overlooked. And so I think that's been our golf program for a while now. And we're just looking to keep getting better and better and just show them that, hey, listen, we're Cameron University. We're here to compete and we're here to win.
So, Coach, quickly touch on, we're making a big change to the Terry Bell Center. And we're going to be adding a putt-putt. Tell everybody what that is and why
that's
going to be beneficial.
Yes, of course. So we're renovating two-thirds of the interior part of the Terry Bell facility with the PuttView putting system. So it's a very high-tech, German-engineered putting software as well as putting green that allows us to do a lot of different things. So one of the most important things is going to be it's allowing us to practice more efficiently when it comes to putting. That's probably one of the factors that not only holds us back, but probably holds everyone back. And the fact that we will have this technology to really optimize our green reading, our visual prowess when it comes to identifying what type of slope that we're on, like a 1%, 2%, 3%, as well as fine-tune our aim point training. Aim point is basically another method of how you read greens. It's proven very effective. It's used on the tour, and this is the exact same technology that Bryson DeChambeau has. He's a huge advocate for it, and other professional golfers on the tour. So, it's gonna do us a lot of good for sure.
Thanks, Coach, and that's it for this edition of Picks Up Inside Cameron Athletics. Thanks for joining us on KCCU and wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, you can get all of your Cameron team schedule scores, rosters, player profiles, and ticket information on CameronAggies.com. And you can watch all of our Lone Star Conference basketball games on flowcollege.com. We'll be back next month right here on KCCU, when we'll talk more Cameron basketball with head women's coach Jeff Mahoney as we get ready to host the Fairfield Inn Holiday Classic on December 19th and 20th. Until then, stay loud, stay proud, and as always, picks up, go Aggies.